Comparisons may be inevitable between the Orlando shooting and the Boston Marathon bombings. The man who led Boston police at the scene of the 2013 attacks sees, after Orlando, that some lessons from Boston were learned, while some challenges remain. WBUR's David Bowery has more.
The tourniquets were one of the things he noticed watching the news from Orlando.
They're putting tourniquets on people's legs, and that's saving people's lives.
As superintendent in chief of the Boston Police, Dan Linsky oversaw the immediate response to the Boston Marathon. This weekend, he saw two lessons learned here in Boston adopted by police in Orlando.
They were applying tourniquets on victims. The other thing I saw is they're putting victims into police vehicles and driving them to the hospital instead of waiting for the ambulance, which is traditional response.
Linsky, who now works as a security and crisis expert at the Kroll Corporation, previously trained some 2,000 officers in Florida in tactical operations.
Oftentimes, the streets get blocked with emergency vehicles and ambulances can't get through.
One similarity between the two cases is that the suspects had been on the FBI radar beforehand. What was known and what was missed about the alleged shooter, Omar Mateen, echoes the questions asked here after the marathon bombing about the Tsarnaev brothers, especially after it turned out that the FBI had received warnings from Russian intelligence officials in 2011 that Tamerlan Tsarnaev was a potential jihadist. Here is Ron Hopper, FBI special agent in charge in Orlando.
The FBI first became aware of Mateen in 2013 when he made inflammatory comments to co-workers alleging possible terrorist ties.
That's significant because that's when Mateen claimed to the concern of co-workers in Florida that he knew the Tsarnaev brothers, a claim the FBI determined was a fabrication after they conducted two interviews with him. Again, Dan Linsky.
I think the fact that he mentioned the Tsarnaev brothers is going to be cause for investigative follow-up to see if there was a relationship. Was he involved in a circle of friends or even an extended circle of friends?
Inevitably, because of Mateen's claims to know the Tsarnaev brothers, it means going back over old ground, including a man the FBI investigated in Orlando in 2013, Ibrahim Tadashev, who was a friend of Tamerlan Tsarnaev and who, the government says, admitted to committing murder with Tsarnaev before the marathon bombing, was shot to death in the middle of an FBI interview in Orlando after investigators say he attacked them. In still another resemblance to the marathon bombing case, here's the father of Omar Mateen, Siddiqui Mateen, sounding like the American uncle of the Tsarnaev brothers did in 2013.
I condemn what he did. I wish I did know that what he was doing, if I did catch him, I would have arrested it myself.
What happened early Sunday morning and what FBI investigators might have missed in their prior investigation of Omar Mateen will be the focus of lots of reviews and police after-action reports and inquiry by the Congressional Intelligence Committee. Today, Mateen is at the top of the pyramid, the terrorist who actualized. Following him backwards, going down each level, we can see the decisions, the steps he took to climb upward. But at the base of the pyramid are hundreds, Linsky says thousands, of potential Omar Mateens, and no easy way to tell them apart.
It's a huge resource issue to be able to follow these people and be on them 24 hours a day where you can totally surveil all of their activities. There's probably 1,000 cases going on right now where there's active cases of ISIS supporters or people involved in 50 states.
It is a situation in which people see progress in the deployment of tourniquets and faster response to mass murder. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm David Bowery.
Last night, hundreds of people gathered at Boston City Hall Plaza to remember the victims of the Orlando shooting. Many said they wanted to share support for both Orlando and the LGBT community. WBUR's Zeninjaran Wameka was there.
People from all over Boston attended the vigil on City Hall Plaza. They carried signs, rainbow flags, and for many, heavy hearts. But at least for a little while, some of those hearts were lifted through solidarity and song.
Grace, how sweet.
We
wanted to sing. It felt like singing was something important to do.
Alexandra Sheldon says she wants to honor the victims of the Orlando attack.
I just felt it in my bones that I wanted to be here and be with other people and to show solidarity with the gay community. My heart's broken and I can't really bear what happened.
That sentiment was common. Liliana Garcia says she's fed up and it's time for policy changes.
I thought, you know, we moved forward, but we haven't. We actually took 50 steps back. But I just hope that our politicians pay attention, that people are looking for gun control, and they're looking to feel safe, which we don't. We don't feel safe. You know, I'm scared for my daughter, who's 12. I'm scared of her going to school. I'm scared for myself to go out with my wife. I'm scared for a lot of people.
Many at the vigil are calling for gun control and better mental health care. Anir Martino also wants tolerance and acceptance of the LGBT community.
The attacks were just like on a place where people just went to be themselves and feel like they could do what they want to do and love who they want to love. And I just hope that, you know, we don't have to, you know, hide to those places anymore and just kind of just be open and free.
That spirit of openness was on display just this past weekend as Boston celebrated Pride Week. Mayor Marty Walsh says it was sad to go from a major celebration to a tragedy, something Boston has also dealt with in the past.
3 short years ago, the people of Orlando stood with us here in Boston when we had our own tragedy during the marathon. It's important for the people of Orlando to understand that we stand in solidarity with them and we will help them in any way that we can.
The crowd at City Hall signed condolence books that will be sent to Orlando. And as people lined up to leave their messages, they hugged, they cried, and throughout the evening, they sang.
I'm gonna let it shine, this little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine.
For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Zeninjor and Wameka.
Members of the U.S. House of Representatives held a moment of silence last night to honor the victims of the Orlando shooting, but it was interrupted by a group of Democrats demanding that House Speaker Paul Ryan and other Republicans take action on gun control.
H.R. 5312, a bill to amend the High Performance Computing Act of 1991.
Several members walked out, including Massachusetts Congressman Seth Moulton, who joins us on the line right now. Good morning, Congressman. Thanks for being with Morning Edition.
Good morning, Deborah.
So on Sunday, you tweeted that you offered your thoughts and prayers to those affected by the Orlando shooting. And last night you said thoughts and prayers are a tradition that you're done with. Explain your thinking there.
That's right. Well, I heard a lot of, from a lot of people, including many constituents, who said that thoughts and prayers aren't working. And they're right. Thoughts and prayers haven't worked. That's a tradition. We offer thoughts and prayers after one of these shootings. What we need to offer is real action to prevent them from happening again.
Mm-hmm. This moment of silence and the decision not to join it was organized by, I believe, Connecticut Congressman Jim Himes. What did he say to organize the group last night? And how do you feel about folks who might think that you are being insensitive?
Well, actually, I've heard from a lot of people who have said that if you really want to respect the victims in Orlando, we have to make sure that mass shootings like that don't happen again. Congressman Himes was the first one to say that he wouldn't attend the moment of silence, but he didn't work to organize it. He just made a stand. He took a stand that I respected, and I followed along.
Now, you were among several veterans who called for stronger gun control laws earlier this month. I mean, what are you looking for, and what do you think is really going to do it to try to push Congress to act? We know certainly folks thought Newtown, Connecticut was going to be the moment where lawmakers acted, but 3 years later, still no major gun laws.
Well, we're just looking for some common sense reforms. If you're on the no-fly list and you're not allowed to get on an airplane, you shouldn't be allowed to buy a gun. If you're a terrorist on the no-fly list, you shouldn't be allowed to buy a gun. If you buy a gun, regardless of where you purchase it, you should have a background check. You know, if you think about it, the party position, the conservative Republican Party position on this is absurd. It's like saying that if you buy an airline ticket by walking up to the counter, then you have to go through security. But if you buy it online, well, don't worry about it. You can just walk around security. I mean, that's absurd. Now, I know that there are a lot of reasonable Republicans out there who want common sense gun reforms, reasonable Republicans who have actually read the text of the Second Amendment where it says regulated. Regulated is in the text of the Second Amendment. I support the Second Amendment, but I also support common sense gun reforms.
Obviously,
the two do not have to be mutually exclusive.
Obviously, some folks disagree on what common sense gun reform is. So we've been debating this for quite some time. Do you think, especially in an election year, any kind of gun control reform is even possible?
It's absolutely possible. We just need to find some courage down here in Washington. The reality is that the Republican leadership won't even let these issues come to a vote because they know that if they actually had to vote on them, many reasonable, responsible Republicans would vote for these reforms.
Massachusetts Congressman Seth Moulton, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Deborah.
It didn't take long for the mass shooting in Orlando to enter the presidential campaign. In a speech yesterday in Manchester, New Hampshire, presumptive Republican nominee Donald Trump called again for a ban on Muslim immigration. And Trump went after his Democratic opponent, Hillary Clinton. WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks has the story.
Trump spoke at St. Anselm College in Manchester and said he had planned to use the speech to talk about Hillary Clinton. But given what happened in Orlando over the weekend, Trump said that would have to wait. Then he spent much of the half hour talking about Hillary Clinton, suggesting her policies would lead to more terror attacks.
Clinton wants to allow radical Islamic terrorists to pour into our country. They enslave women and they murder gays. I don't want them in our country.
Trump used the tragedy of Orlando to essentially double down on his proposal to ban Muslim immigration to the U.S., suggesting that he wants to suspend immigration from all areas of the world where there's a history of terrorism against the U.S. and its allies. He urged Muslim American communities to work with law enforcement because, he said, they know what's going on. And he says the slaughter in Orlando was the result of a failed immigration system. The shooter was born in New York, the son of Afghani immigrants.
The bottom line is that the only reason the killer was in America in the first place was because we allowed his family to come here. That is a fact, and it's a fact we need to talk about.
Trump accused Clinton and President Obama of excessive political correctness for refusing to name radical Islamic terrorism as a threat. In fact, Clinton used the term radical jihadists yesterday. But Trump pressed on with his attack.
Here is what she said, exact quote. Muslims are peaceful and tolerant people and have nothing whatsoever to do with terrorism. That is Hillary Clinton. So she says the solution is to ban guns. Her plan is to disarm law-abiding Americans, abolishing the Second Amendment, and leaving only the bad guys and terrorists with guns. No good. Not going to happen, folks. Not going to happen.
Clinton has not called for the abolition of the Second Amendment. She does support a ban on assault weapons, the kind of gun the Orlando shooter easily acquired. And speaking in Cleveland yesterday, Clinton responded to Trump's hard line on Muslim immigration, saying she wants to send a message of unity and solidarity to American Muslims.
As the director of the FBI has pointed out, we should avoid eroding trust in that community, which will only make law enforcement's job more difficult. Inflammatory anti-Muslim rhetoric and threatening to ban the families and friends of Muslim Americans, as well as millions of Muslim business people and tourists from entering our country, hurts the vast majority of Muslims who love freedom and hate terror.
But in New Hampshire yesterday, Trump spoke to a small, hand-picked audience of supporters who applauded his tough line. Among them, Peter Baudette of Bow, New Hampshire.
I think it's important for America to have the big stick again. You got to have an opportunity to deal from strength. Haven't seen that during this administration. Sounds like Trump can turn that around.
Also in the audience, former Massachusetts Senator Scott Brown, now of New Hampshire, who says Trump's call to ban Muslims from entering the U.S. is a step toward fixing the immigration system.
Because it's so screwed up. We have 4.3 million people, give or take, coming through the system right now. I've actually called for and suggested that we actually hold all immigration, then force the President, Mitch McConnell, the Speaker of the House, to get together an immigration plan that this country can agree on. Until then, I think it's appropriate to hold off on selective immigration and allowing people to come into this country.
But Brown couldn't say how that would have prevented the slaughter in Orlando, since the shooter was born in this country. When Trump launched his campaign for the White House 1 year ago, he promised to build a wall and get tough on immigration. Yesterday, as Orlando mourned its dead, Trump made clear that he hopes his message will carry him all the way to Election Day. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Anthony Brooks in Manchester, New Hampshire.